Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about BJ Colangelo's top 10 movies of 2024. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com. And joining me on today's episode is Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
All right, BJ, before we start, I wanted to ask you about honorable mentions. Are there any movies that did not quite make the cut for you that you wanted to shout out here?
Oh, there's so many. It was actually very difficult for me narrowing down to 10, and I want to be very explicit at the top. I don't do like top 10 in terms of like, oh, these are the top 10 best movies that came out. I do my 10 favorites every year because I think our relationship with film is so personal. So because of that, there are some great movies, like award contending movies like Conclave, for example, that did not make my top 10. Even though I would say it's probably a better made movie than a lot of the movies on my list. So Conclave is definitely up there for me. My girl Lisa Frankenstein like just missed my top 10, which is a bummer because I love that movie so much. Same thing with I really loved Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I thought it was genuinely fantastic. It is the closest thing to a live action anime I've ever seen, and it is such a great movie. My three like big ones that just miss my list.
Okay, awesome, man. I didn't realize you were so in the bag for Sonic.
Listen,
great.
I had a conversation with Slash Film contributor Matt Donato, who was also at my same screening, where we walked out of the theater and looked at each other and went, wait, is this movie amazing? Are we going to be like the two weirdos who give this a really high score? And luckily, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 dethroned Werewolves Within as the highest rated video game movie on Rotten Tomatoes. It has like an 88, I think, right now. So we weren't alone. Everybody loves this movie, so I know I'm not crazy.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Excellent honorable mentions there. So let's now dive in to your top 10 movies of 2024, BJ. What is your number 10?
Alrighty. And again, as far as like ranking these are concerned, every movie on this list to me is somewhere between like an A to an A minus range. And with the exception of, I think, my top three, they all could move places at any given time. But my number 10 is Red Rooms. Red Rooms is available on Shudder. It is a French-Canadian true crime thriller horror movie. It is, I think I described it as like an evil film when we talked about the scariest movies of the year. This I do not stop thinking about this movie. There are a couple of moments in this movie that have been plaguing me since I watched it, and I had to put it on my list because I know this is going to be a movie similar to Lake Mungo, and I don't want people to think that they're similar in tone at all because they're not, but similar to a movie like Lake Mungo where I will go months without thinking about it and then randomly be awoken in the middle of the night thinking about something in this movie and throw me into an existential crisis.
Yes. All right. This is not the first time that listeners will have heard of Red Rooms. And I love that a smaller movie like this is getting a bunch of representation on our individual list like this. So that's excellent. Okay. What is your number nine, BJ?
My number nine is a movie that is finally available in America widestream as of this recording, but it is Wallace and Gromit: Vengeance Most Foul. This is my favorite animated movie of the year. I love the Wallace and Gromit movies. I think this is such a return to form for the series. It also has what, for my money, is the scariest villain in anything I've seen this year, which is Norbot, the happy robot lawn gnome, because as listeners of this podcast know, I am scared of two things, lawn gnomes and robots with human teeth, and he's got both. But I think that it is genuinely fantastic. There are so many great homages to other movies inside. Like, there's a great, like, Cape Fear section with Feathers McGraw that is hysterical. I love this movie. It's fantastic. I will be a little disappointed if this is not the one that takes the Oscar this year.
Wow, man. Okay, so is it even... Did it get like a limited theatrical release? Is this technically a 2024 movie?
It is technically a 2024 movie. It got limited theatrical so that it could qualify for awards. It also was a Christmas theater movie in the UK, and then it is now available on Netflix here in the States.
Okay, excellent. All right, so Wallace and Gromit: Vengeance Most Foul is your number nine. What about your number eight?
My number eight, and this is why I say that any of these movies could kind of shift around. This was my first 10 out of 10 that I gave in a official review this year, and it is Abigail. Abigail is a horror movie that was just built in a lab to appease to me. Like, you're not going to make me dislike a movie that's about a ballerina vampire. It's just not going to happen. It has my favorite line reading of the year with Dan Stevens saying, "Sammy, those are fucking onions." I love the tonal shifts in this movie. I love that it is playing with both gothic vampirism with this beautiful home, but at the same time, it's still very, very modern with its sense of humor. It's super gory, unapologetically so. There's so much dance involved. Like, I love this movie. This is such a BJ movie.
Yes, 100%. Do you know what Radio Silence is working on next? I'm sure it's been announced.
Ready or Not 2. That's what they're doing.
Oh,
and
wow.
Samara's coming back as well. So they're reuniting with Samara Weaving. And I'm very excited to see where that story is going to go, because that project's been in production for quite some time. There was a different director attached at one point, and then suddenly they're back. I don't know the story behind that, but I am very, very excited to see them go back into that world.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So stuff to look forward to there from Radio Silence, the filmmakers behind Abigail, BJ's number eight choice. So why don't you tell me your number seven movie?
Okay. My number seven, all like anything from here on up is a 10 out of 10 movie for me. So let me just make that clear. My number seven is Sean Baker's Anora. I love this movie. Quite frankly, I love all of Sean Baker's movies. The only reason it's as low on this list as it is because it's not my favorite of his movies, but I adore that this movie is, you know, somewhat of like a dramedy, but like the comedy in this is borderline slapstick. I think Mikey Madison is giving one of the best performances of the year. The ending of this movie absolutely guts me. I think it's gorgeous. I love this movie. I had a great time with it. It totally deserves all the accolades that it's getting. And I'm excited that it seems like Sean Baker is finally breaking into the mainstream because of this movie after being like king of the indie darlings for quite some time. So yeah, shout out to Anora. Great movie.
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think he does next? Because I agree, it feels like he kind of leveled up in a way with this movie, at least in terms of, I know the Florida Project got a lot of awards attention and stuff like that. That movie still felt like a small kind of outside looking in type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like from the awards podcasts and coverage and stuff that I've consumed over the past year, it kind of has felt like Anora has been if not the front runner for Best Picture, certainly in that conversation for months and months and months now. So that like kind of bestows a different aura on a filmmaker like Sean Baker. And I wonder what you think he does in his career moving forward from here.
My hope, in all honesty, is I hope that he continues making these, you know, kind of smaller scale movies about people who don't get movies made about them. That's what's always appealed to me about his vision as a filmmaker. And it does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form, because this is not his first movie about sex workers. There are actually sex workers in a majority of his movies, but it is the first one where the person who is doing sex work is surrounded by wealth and is surrounded by like lavish trips and traveling across country, not people who are poor. And so it does not surprise me at all that this is the movie that mainstream audiences gravitated towards, because people tend to be like titillated and excited about sex work when it's flashy and glamorous, and repulsed and super judgmental about it when it's about people living in poverty. And so I'm hoping that with this like elevated stance, that he goes back and makes another Starlet, another Tangerine, another Red Rocket, another Florida Project. But now people know him and they know that like, oh, I can trust him as a director. I like what he's doing. And then they're more willing to invest in a movie about characters that, again, don't get movies made about them. That's my hope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Okay. So I'm very curious to see where he goes from here, and like story-wise, if he's able to kind of keep this up and keep leveling up that way too. But yeah, that's a great hope. And I'm right there with you. Okay. So your number six movie, BJ.
My number six is Robert Eggers' Nosferatu. Nosferatu does absolutely everything for me that I was hoping that it would do. I think that it is gothic. I think that it is gorgeous. I think that it is so haunting and terrifying. I think the performances are outstanding. I think this is such a love letter to a type of vampire movie that we just don't make anymore. And it was so nice to go back and just revel in that world, because I love it so much. And this is just a stunning movie to look at. It's impeccably crafted. I do think it's going to get shut out of a lot of awards contention just because it's a horror movie, which is a crime as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, this movie rules.
Yeah, the artistry on display here is really second to just about none. And it's, yeah, just a really incredible looking movie. I wonder what you think about the idea of this being a sexy movie. Chris talked about this a little bit when he put Nosferatu on his list. And I feel like we've talked about this. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or if it was just in our Slack, but I have a thought about that, especially compared to the Francis Ford Coppola version. But I wondered what your take was on that.
Yeah. So the difference being is that Coppola's Dracula is sexy. Nosferatu is horny. There's a difference in that Nosferatu is about yearning and craving and desiring, whereas Coppola's Dracula is about following through. And so they are different in their approaches to sexuality. I'm a yearner. I love to yearn. And so I love both of these movies for what they do, but I love a movie about yearning because we don't really see that in a lot of movies anymore. Another movie I guess should have been an honorable mention, but Baby Girl. So like the fact that Baby Girl and Nosferatu both came out on the same day, like that was the true Barbenheimer of this year as far as I'm concerned, because they are both movies that are so, so different, but at the same time are very much about yearning and feeling shame about like the sexuality that you have, whereas like a Bram Stoker's Dracula is about like reveling in that sexuality.
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of my read on it as well. Whereas like the Bram Stoker Coppola movie is more like this sort of sweeping epic love story of these people separated by millennia and or hundreds of years or whatever the time limit was. And this sort of like they're drawn to each other over the course of time. And it's this big sort of sweeping overarching thing. And I thought Nosferatu was more about somebody trapped in an abusive relationship, you know, like that kind of thing. It's not nearly as sexy and luscious. It's more like almost depressing the way that the walls are closing in on these characters because of the hold that Orlok has over them, you know? So.
Oh yeah. And there's something like there, I also just love movies that deal with shame, and there's something so shameful because she has this like pull towards him where she does crave him and want him, but she knows that that's wrong, and she knows there's something like gross about it, and she doesn't know what to do with those feelings. And then eventually, like, they're just gonna like explode into like weird possession seizures, because that's just how it works. And I just love that. And I also think that like Lily Rose Depp, this is the performance where she really went above and beyond to prove that like she could do this, that she is a serious performer, that she's more than just like a hot girl or a nepo baby or whatever people want to like label her as. She's like, no, I can act, and I'm going to show that to you. And I love that. Like, this is probably like the hungriest performance that I saw this year of somebody just really, really demanding the audience to see how good they are.
Yeah, she did spectacular work, and it absolutely worked on me in that way, where it got me to, for lack of a better phrase, take her seriously in a way that I had not before. So, yeah, I'm so curious to see if she'll be able to find a project that rises to the level of quality that Nosferatu was at, where she will be able to put her talents to that same level of use, or if she's just going to get kind of sucked into projects that maybe are a little beneath her, or like that don't let her capitalize and sort of showcase the talent that she displayed in this movie. Yeah. So it'll be fascinating to watch what happens there. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and do your top five movies of 2024.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Wow, what's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right, BJ, what's your number five?
Number five is a movie I know that you also appreciate. We got to give it to Hundreds of Beavers.
Hundreds of Beavers is
this was my wife's number one with a bullet. Like, this movie hit her number one and then nothing could touch it. So I've watched it a few times. Hundreds of Beavers is the perfect example of the types of movies that I spend my entire year seeking out. One of these indie releases that's made for a fraction of the budget that everything else that I've seen this year was made on, that is just pure creativity. Hundreds of Beavers is so funny, and there is literally nothing like it. There is nothing I've ever seen like this in live action. Cartoons, yeah, for sure, but not in live action. I think that it is such an incredible marriage of Looney Tunes and Buster Keaton and black and white, and just it's so painfully Midwest in a way that makes me so happy. I love that this movie is starting to like really grow in popularity and people are seeing how great it is, because it's awesome. And I want us to have more giant creative swings like this and for them to land, and because this one didn't just land, it knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I saw something. You're no offense, BJ, you're more online than I am.
Oh, I'm chronically online. I own that. It's fine.
I know that could be taken as an insult, but I hope you take it in the right way. But I saw something online recently, like within the past week, that was something about Hundreds of Beavers. Like, is it available for people to watch for free right now or something? Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see
that? Yeah, so it was available. Announcement? I don't know if it still is, but it was available on streaming for free for a bit. It recently got a physical media release through one of the partnership labels that you can buy through Vinegar Syndrome. So you can get this on Blu-ray if you want. And I sure did.
Excellent. All right. So that is your number five. Tell me your number four movie of 2024.
My number four is Coralie Farge's The Substance.
Hell yeah.
Love The Substance. I recently rewatched it this weekend because it's New Year's and this is a New Year's movie. So I rewatched it and I was like, yeah, this movie still hits. Like, even when I know everything it's going to do, it still totally rules. Demi Moore's performance in this is astounding. The ending third of this movie just really, really hits for me. Again, another movie that I am hoping ends up in awards contention, but if it isn't, it's because it's horror and that's just how things exist in our world, but just a phenomenal film, gorgeous to look at, so dynamic and yet so poignant, and also so French, like so painfully French in a way that I love. The Substance rules. Love it.
Yeah, it's so great. I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Chris yesterday, which is, how frequently do you rewatch movies when you're trying to put together a list like this? Because it sounds like from Hundreds of Beavers and The Substance, these are movies that you've seen more than once. I'm guessing you've seen Abigail more than once at this point too. So like, what's your, do you have a strategy when you go into putting a list together like this?
So I tend to isolate things in a couple of different columns. So there are the movies that I'm like, oh yeah, this is it. I don't need to rewatch this. I know this is great. And I put that in one column. Then there's movies that are like, I really, really, really like this. Let's put this in another column. And then there's the movies that I come out like so high about that I'm like, oh my God, I love this, that I do end up rewatching to make sure that I like it as much as I did. Abigail is a movie that I've watched probably 8 times this year because I gave it a 10 out of 10 after seeing the premiere, being in this like, you know, very electrifying like audience. And I was like, okay, well, did that affect my feeling the same way that I know a lot of people will rewatch movies they saw at festivals and be like, did I actually like this? Or was it because I was at Sundance? And so I rewatched it one time and I was like, nope, I still love this movie. Still would change nothing about it. Absolutely love it. And I continued to do that throughout the years. There are two movies above these ones that I've watched twice. Everything on this list I've watched at least twice, with the exception of my number three, which we'll get to next, that I watched one time and went, nope, that's there. At this point, it's just whether or not I like the other things more to push it down to three. And that's what ended up happening.
Okay. Well, that's an elegant transition. Tell me about your number three movie.
It's Nickel Boys. Oh my God. This movie is so fantastic. I watched it, couldn't believe how great it was, couldn't believe that it wasn't being talked about nearly as much. It's a historical drama film, which is usually not my bag. I'm not super into that. But these performances are absolutely amazing. The story just like really, really blew me away. This is, you know, most of it is shot like in like a POV kind of thing. Like, it's just, it's fantastic. Like, it's so good. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I know this is a movie that a lot of people have not seen, unfortunately, because it has been such like a limited release. But it's about, you know, people living in Jim Crow South, to black teens make friendship and, you know, try to figure out how they're going to survive this world together. It's amazing. It's an amazing film. One of the best of the year. If not, like this, the two that are above this are higher because they are my favorite films. Nickel Boys is going to be a movie that's going to stand the test of time, that people will be talking about 20, 30 years from now. And I accept that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. All right. So now I'm so curious with all this buildup, what's your number two movie?
Okay. Anybody who knows me should not be shocked by this at all. Number two was my other 10 out of 10 I gave this year. It's Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga. Furiosa is everything I wanted it to be. I wanted a giant epic about this character, and that's exactly what I got. I think it is so good. I think it makes Mad Max Fury Road a better movie by existing. And that is power. That is so powerful. I want to channel channel this energy going into 2025. I want to bring my inner Furiosa to everything that I'm going to have to deal with for the next 4 years. I love this movie. I cannot believe that in his wise old age that George Miller is still cranking out just masterpiece after masterpiece. Like, oh my God, this movie does everything for me. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so baffled at audiences' rejection of this movie. It just doesn't really make sense to me because it's that same kind. I mean, it's a very different movie in several ways from Fury Road. But man, we talked about this. People can go back and listen to like our full discussion about it when we were like right off, fresh off of seeing the movie or whatever. But like, yeah, some of the images from this have stuck with me, even though I didn't like this movie quite as much as you did. It's still an incredible movie. And like for people who like action and adventure and, you know, all the kind of big scale, great blockbuster Hollywood filmmaking, for audiences to just straight up reject this, it's really baffling to me. So they're missing out is all I got to say. This one is absolutely worth watching.
Agreed. People can be loud and wrong all day long. It's not going to change my appreciation for this movie.
All right, so we've reached the end here. What is your number one movie of 2024?
Oh, come on. It's Rose Glass's Love Lies Bleeding. Are you kidding? Like, there's no other movie that was going to be my number one. You're giving me, like, just shredded to the gills Katie O'Brien. You're giving me messy butch Kristen Stewart. You're giving me female bodybuilding. You're giving me crime and murder and sweaty desert. Yes, I love this movie. Are you, like, what? Like, there is no movie that came out this year that like ticked more of my boxes than this movie. Like, there's a couple movies this year where it's like, yeah, this was made in a lab to appeal to me. This is absolutely one of them. And the fact that I got to see this movie for the first time, thank you to A24 for inviting me to the screening, where somehow I ended up on like the cool lesbians of Los Angeles list because Kristen Stewart hosted it. It was filled with like every cool lesbian celebrity you know of. They were in that screening with me. And just being in that room as like a bunch of sapphics just lost their mind watching this movie. Like, there is no other theatrical experience in 2024 that will match that. I've seen Love Lies Bleeding like 4 times this year because I wanted to make sure like that I wasn't just like caught up in all of those emotions. I watched it at home with my wife. I watched it at home by myself. I watched it with friends. And every single time I was like, nothing is beating this movie this year. Like, it's just not happening. It's not happening. It's it's too much my shit.
Yeah, talking about like going into the rest of 2025 with that Furiosa energy. It sounds like if you could bottle the feeling that you had in that initial Love Lies Bleeding screening and spread that out over the course of the next 4 years, you'll be absolutely thriving. So.
Like, every time I watch Love Lies Bleeding, I turn into that gif of Leonardo DiCaprio from The Wolf of Wall Street after he's like screaming and then makes kind of like that primal like lower jaw face. That's who I become after I watch Love Lies Bleeding. I'm like, oh my God, I can rip apart a phone book. Let's go.
Amazing. Well, I'm kind of shocked that Wicked didn't make it into your top 10, BJ.
It was really close. It was really, really close because I do love, love, love Wicked. I'm actually wearing my Shiz University sweater right now. It's fine. but it's just other movies I think were just more my thing this year. I think that Wicked for Good will probably end up on my list next year because For Good's my favorite song in the show. And so we'll see where that lands. But no, I'm very much pro Wicked as well.
Excellent. All right. Any, I guess, closing thoughts on 2024 as a movie year or anything along those lines before we wrap it up here?
I don't understand anybody that was like, it was a pretty weak year for movies. That's not true at all. There were so many amazing movies that came out this year, plenty of which that I didn't even talk about. Like, I could have made separate lists for like the best coming of age movies that came out this year, or like a bunch of undersung movies, documentaries. Like, there are so many amazing films that didn't make my list that are so worth seeing and that I hope people are willing to seek out. There's one called Girls Will Be Girls that I love. There's one called Big Boys that I love that like no one is talking about. My Old Ass is another one that a lot more people need to be seeing. Like, this was a great year for movies. And yeah, I think that if people are like, I think the movie, like, it was a bad year, I think you're just not watching enough. Start watching things outside of your comfort zone and see what magic can be found, because it's everywhere. It is overflowing.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to a documentary. You mentioned documentaries, and it got me thinking about this. A movie that I haven't really sung the praises of as much as I should have this year, and it's called Daughters. And I'm not sure if it's, I want to say it was on the short list for Oscar contention. I don't know if it's going to get through there, or I haven't really been tracking that process. I'm not sure if it's already been like winnowed out or how that works exactly. But Daughters is on Netflix right now. I saw it back at Sundance. And yeah, if you're looking for just a movie that will rip your heart out of your chest, that's one to check out. I'm not even really going to say what it's about, but go seek out this movie, Daughters. It's one of those really beautiful, undersung movies that came out in 2024. So I'll just end with a recommendation there. But yeah, all of BJ's choices obviously are top tier recommendations. This is a great list, BJ. So thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for letting me, you know, wax poetic about a bunch of movies that a lot of people like and a couple movies that people are like, girl, why is that on your list?
If they know you, they know exactly why they're on.
Exactly.
List,
so. And people should know they're not going to change my mind. I've had so many people be like, well, what about? And I'm like, no, no, it's I'm locked in. Final answer.
Excellent. All right. Well, you can find more about all the movies that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. We really appreciate that. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all next week.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.